There are 143 days till Christmas. Just wanted you to know that. When you see this passage, you often think of Christmas. But, you know, you have Christmas in July, and we're not there yet, but I was drawn to this passage when we put this all together, and said, let's do a three-part series of Emmanuel, God with us. And as I was looking at this, I was then drawn to the Old Testament passage that was read about God being with his people, Israel. Well, as you read this passage in Matthew 1, you realize it's a quotation from Isaiah. You know, a lot of what's in the new is not new. It's just brought from the old and given new life for us. This quote from Isaiah in chapter 7 of Isaiah, I wanted to catch the context of what the original intent was when Isaiah gave these words. And it was simply, God will protect the house of David. Interesting, as you look at the real context of that, that they were heading into captivity with Babylon and all kinds of odd things were happening that didn't look like God was protecting the house of David. But when you look at this passage a little more carefully, you look at the context of the people who heard and were reading the very message at the time that Jesus was on the earth. This came across as God is with us in the form of this humble child and man, and will be with us through his kingdom forever. Now, that was the primary context of Matthew's words. Someone asked me the other day, well, what was his, name Emmanuel, or was his name Jesus, Yeshua? I said, well, his name was Yeshua, Jesus, but it's like you're a father or a grandfather or a mother or a grandma. That's what you are called, but your name is, and his name was Jesus, but as we read it in the Matthew version, he will be called, and everybody said, Emmanuel, God with us. Then I took this thought and moved it back from Isaiah, clear back to when this first took root in the lives of God's people, which took me back to Exodus and Mount Sinai. And a little more than a month ago, you celebrated Pentecost when we had the word of the Lord given to Moses and we had the Ten Commandments. And in that description of God speaking to Moses, he uses these words. And look at these words very carefully, and they got highlighted even better. There's much that goes on in this passage of all kinds of setups and regulations and but I want you to go and understand the original intent of God was to be with his people and among his people. It wasn't just a bunch of rules and regulations. He had those for their health, for their safety, for the establishment of the people. But what he really wanted, and that's what he wants with us today, is to be in you and among you. Look at this. I will dwell among the Israelites. That's in Exodus 29, verse 45, so that, and then the following verse, so that I might dwell among them. And I took the word dwell and figured out what exactly that connected to, and the word tabernacle in the Hebrew, that word, if you translate it into English, tabernacle means dwell. So to say it properly, it's God wants to tabernacle among and within us. Is he tabernacling in you? Because that's what he wants. He loves our buildings and our committees and our rules and our unwritten rules, and he loves all that. But what he really is after is to tabernacle in you. So when you go to this tabernacle word, you can't help but go to the original tabernacle. And so I have a picture I want to show you of a little bit of what that original tabernacle in the wilderness looked like. So take a look at this, because this is a wilderness tabernacle, and how it was artist rendering of how it was set up based on the Exodus descriptions. And notice in this tabernacle that the camp is set up with the tents and the tribes all around the outside. But where is the tabernacle? In the middle, amongst, and within. Now, I'm going to develop that and talk a little bit more about this on Wednesday. So come and we'll have a conversation about some of the specifics of the tabernacle and the priests and the Levites and all the things that went on in the tabernacle as it pertains to and relates to God with us today. So come Wednesday if you can. Notice here in the middle of the picture, at the far end of the actual tent, you see a little bit of a cloud. And remember, there was a cloud by day. What was the other half? Fire by night. Cloud and fire. And this represented, and this was God's presence in the tabernacle. Now, the next picture really is just one of my favorite all-time pictures that I've ever seen, and I have a framed of this one when I use when I'm teaching, of the tabernacle at night. Notice the tents all around. These are the tribes in very specific locations, but you see the fire. So at night, if you had to get up and do your chore, or morning you got up out of your tent, stepped out of your tent, what was the first thing you saw? You saw the presence of God. I mean, visible. It was visible presence of Him continually in that camp. So what this then does is where does that cloud by day, fire by night actually focus on? And this is what I wanted you to see today, is it focuses on the ark. Because the ark is in the Holy of Holies, in that sacred holy tent. So it was divided into two parts. Two-thirds of it was the lampstand and the altar of incense, and then it had the holy bread, or the King James says the show bread. This place smelled wonderful. We would love to have just, anyway, we'll talk about that Wednesday. But the back third of it was the Holy of Holies, and what was in the Holy of Holies? Let's see the ark. We're going to see the Ark of the Covenant and have it brought in so that you get a feel of the wilderness set up with the tabernacle and the presence of God. So always associated with the Ark of the Covenant was the blowing of the shofar. Now, I'm a clarinet player, so give me some grace here. But I want you to get a sense of the Ark as it approaches and comes and is brought in to the tabernacle, and you'll see how it's supposed to be carried on the shoulders of the Levites, which in this case was Aaron's sons, and that ark was in the middle of and among the people. So here comes the ark, and always when it came, it was associated with the blowing of the shofar. So bring the ark in, and we'll blow the shofar as they come. This represents a sort of a humble presence of God as it precedes the ark. Where the presence of God landed, in the picture that you saw, go ahead and show us the next picture. Go to the next couple of pictures. You see that is this. And the next picture comes let's get to the one where it shows right on the very top, because this is called the mercy seat. And that cloud by day, fire by night, came down into the Holy of Holies, and it rested on the mercy seat right here. This was gold. Jenny showed you that a little earlier. This was solid gold formed and crafted by the craftsmen in Israel as the mercy seat. And we'll talk a little bit on Wednesday about the eagle's wings and the lion and the bull and man's. This was the focus of the presence of God as it came and rested right on the ark. As you think of the ark, think of the visible presence of God. Jenny pointed out what's in the ark, and you had the Ten Commandments, two copies of the Ten Commandments, one for the people, one for God, always kept in the Ark of the Covenant. And show that next slide, and you can go to what was actually in the ark. You see the Ten Commandments and the Aaron's rod and the manna, always a reminder of God's miraculous intervention and provision for his people. So the contents of the ark, as well as the mercy seat on top of the ark, was a continual reminder of God's presence. Now, I know right away you're going to say, well, they didn't really follow it all the time. There was lots of ups and downs and ins and outs and lots of failures and lots of disregard. And then someone will ask, well, what happened to the ark if it was such a big deal? Well, if you watch Raiders, you know it's in a warehouse in Washington, D.C., and with 1,000 other artifacts that are nondescript. Where is the ark? Well, that's a great question. Read some books on that, and some say it's in Iraq, some say it's in Egypt, some say it's in Ethiopia. As I mentioned, could be lots of places. But back to the question, where is the ark? If you ask Jesus that question, as he preached, as he lived, what would his answer be? And I want to go to this next scripture. It's in Luke 17. And listen to Jesus. Now, as you hear Jesus speak these words, you have to have a little bit of a context of what I just showed you. So listen to Jesus. The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed or with a visible display, nor will people say, look, here it is, or there it is, for the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Is that a new thought? Is that something that's brand new and, whoa, this is a whole new thing? No, because Jesus himself fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, and the theme and the principle and the power of God was always to be present in and among his people. It was not about buildings and budgets and committees and rules and regulations, although all those things, we've all been involved in them. I've been involved in them in the ministry over many years. And we do all these things, but in the middle of all of those things, we need to remember these words of Jesus, that his presence is to be within. Not without, but within. And finally, as you move from Jesus' words and his teachings and his example of actually being with us and among us and in us, right alongside of us as a human, with feelings, likes and dislikes, sufferings, as we have, as we just heard earlier, Jesus was the embodiment of being among us. The Apostle Paul takes that even further now, after the Holy Spirit has come upon on the day of Pentecost, and Paul says these words, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" Careful now, because remember, what I just said about the tabernacle, and God wants to tabernacle in you, use these words, he wants to temple in you, means the same thing. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. So this thing started in Exodus and before, and moved its way over many hundreds of years to the point where we've keep this same theme right to today, and his ideal is not to have pretty buildings. His ideal is to have a life that's among you and in you and through you so that his presence can speak to you and use you. This is God in us, God among us, and through us. Let me close with this prayer. Pray that these words bring strength, bring help, and challenge to each one of us, that we can live your presence through us, I pray, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.